I don't need an x-ray to see it isn't okay. We lost a lot of blood last year. Your smile is just a band-aid. Strap it to the table. We gotta put you on.
Who have been tuning into what we're calling the Spotify saga. I said that we were going to reach out to a few friends, and that way we got more information than just my little echo chamber of people here in my circle. So I reached out to my buddy, Brandon Hughes. How about you say, hey, Brandon?
Hey, guys. Josh, thanks for having me, man.
Of course. And why don't you, other than just being my friend, why don't you tell them why maybe some people will care what you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, first thing, I'm just a huge music fan. Love listening and supporting artists. But then also what I do is my day job is that I am the booking agent for several bands and work in that space of going and finding live opportunities and helping bands try to make a living by playing shows.
Right. So you're constantly looking, like all of us who are trying to make a living at this in the music industry, that you're constantly looking for pennies and dollars for your artist. And so sometimes people get paid for their music.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. And with everything that has been stated earlier in a couple of other podcasts on the Hive, we've kind of mentioned the whole, was Spotify suing songwriters or, and what that all entails. So I would love to get your two bits on it. And then I might have a couple of questions for you after you, I'm sure this will become more of a conversation than an interview.
So. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I listened to the episode, prior to this one where you guys all dove into it. And I think the conversation
we actually just recorded, just to give a heads up, this will probably come out after the next one. And we actually even talked about it even more so with even more updated information.
Oh, great.
With a couple other people. So that one will probably be before this. So, cool. So it's pretty interesting how it keeps unfolding and more information comes out.
But yeah, go ahead. I'm glad to hear that. But the one I listened to, the conversation was really should independent artists be taking their music off of Spotify to protest the lack of payment or more so like the perceived disrespect that right. Spotify doesn't want to pay more.
I should say I obviously was pretty worked up
about
that, because there's a part of me that like wants to stand up for what I believe is right.
Yeah.
But
what's your livelihood? You have to be invested in this. If musicians aren't caring about how they're getting paid, it's treating it like a hobby and not a way to make a living. I know you take it seriously. Right. I do this for a living too, and I take it very seriously, which is why we're having this conversation.
Totally.
But the metaphor that I like that you guys talked about in the previous episode was that Spotify wants to not give artists as much of a piece of the pie. I love that, because I thought of it as like, oh yeah, there's literally a pie and Spotify says, no, we need more of this. You get less of this. But everybody's got to eat, literally and metaphorically. And so my take on it is Spotify's taking more of the pie. Artists are taking less. Artists say, hey, that's not fair. And I think the issue is that there's just not actually enough pie to be divided to everybody. And so while
I agree.
Yeah.
Totally.
And so artists need a certain amount of money to survive. So everybody can stop having to work 12 jobs to try and be an independent musician, which is unfortunate and discouraging that that's even the status quo.
Right.
But then Spotify also as a company has fact check me on this. Cut this part out if this is totally wrong, but I, at least when I looked, I think Spotify's only had one profitable year since coming to the US.
Yeah, they're still not a profitable. You're right. They're still not a profitable company.
Which is super unfortunate, because Spotify also needs to continue to exist. And so they're going,
right.
Spotify goes, well, we need the money because we need to pay our bills. And artist goes, well, I also have to pay my bills. Why would I not get paid? Also, I'm doing all the work and making the content that people are purchasing Spotify to listen to. You have this situation where everybody needs to eat. There's not really enough pie. So how do you get more pie? I mean, I think the situation there is like, should Spotify be raising their subscription prices, where they're actually lowering it, making these like family bundles, and now you get Hulu with it. And I'm like, how does that work?
Yeah, I literally just saw that in the last like couple of days.
And
what you're saying is actually is great, because it's exactly what we were saying in this next episode that's about to drop.
And so,
is the fact that there just needs to I would spend more money, or most would spend more money on Spotify, because the actual product is better than maybe Apple Music.
Yeah.
Even though I'm an Apple Music guy.
Yeah.
I know that the majority of people think Spotify is user friendly. As an artist, if you get on a playlist, it changes your reach exponentially.
Sure. And I mean, I'd love to go kind of down that rabbit hole too, just talking about like the benefit of of Spotify to artists with playlists, but I think I'm sure that's been covered. And I'm sure, kind of going back, I'm sure Spotify's done enough testing to go, hey, what are people willing to pay for our product? I'm sure they're not just throwing darts at a board going, oh, $9.99 seems like that's the price. Right. I think they know that that's what people are willing to pay. And it's unfortunate. So maybe it's trying to get people to value music more and saying, hey, you should be investing in this. You should be spending your money on this. But what I did, this paper on why Spotify benefits artists when I was in college, like I want to say like 3 years ago, I wrote this paper. And that was before we'd really seen the impact that editorial playlisting can have for artist development. At that point, the entire concept of Spotify was, hey, here's this thing that doesn't really pay you hardly any money and people are listening to your music on. And everybody said, well, this is terrible. Why would we ever want that? Like, as artists, there was this huge confusion of how should we engage it then? And now it's resurfacing again through this appeal that they're doing on the act. And my take then was that Spotify was a solution to a pre-existing problem of that people didn't want to pay for music. I grew up in the era of illegal downloading. That's how all of my friends got their music. Everybody just, I missed the whole CDs thing. I was just, people were downloading on LimeWire and FrostWire and artists were getting zero money then. And that's terrible. That's a horrible, that is the worst, in my opinion, the worst we've ever been off for people supporting music, because they weren't, they were just consuming it. Artists were getting nothing. Spotify came in, created this platform to kind of create revenue. And I would like to think that if Spotify knew that people would pay $20 a month for it, they would charge that and then kick more back to the artists. And I'm speculating that they know $9.99 is really the top dollar. I personally, I would pay 20 bucks. I think 25 is probably my max on what I would pay per month for Spotify. Spotify, if you're listening, please don't raise my monthly rate. But that's what I would pay. But I know most of my friends wouldn't. I know people who, when they are like running through a financial like tough time, Spotify is the first thing they cut. They go, oh, I'm going to go to the free version.
Yeah, it's kind
and
of
that's
a bummer.
Such a bummer.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're right. The system itself is flawed in the sense of, I did see some fans. I literally saw someone today post. I switched. I did the free Apple 3 week thing, or maybe it was 3 months. I don't know what it was. Switched to Apple for 3 months in protest because some of my favorite artists were protesting it. But I'm going to go back to Spotify because it's more user friendly, and I'll just go buy their physical copies and make sure to make a point to go to their live shows, which is actually a very good compromise. Seeing that, like, if people cared about live music and live original music, it's kind of a bummer. This is a whole nother topic, but like, whenever I go to, when I play a festival or something like that, and the headlining band's a cover band or a tribute band, and you go, oh man, people, it's hard to fight nostalgia. It's hard to fight a carbon copy, a lesser carbon copy of another band than someone that's making art. And you know, dare I say, even in the sense of like Raven Hill, like, because that's my experience, being like maybe art that people aren't used to and might be somewhat I'm trying not to sound completely narcissistic here, or proud, but top tier art in the sense like we try to push the bounds of music, and so it's a little gut, a little bit punch to the gut whenever you show up and you're opening up for three cover bands.
Exactly.
But if people cared about music and invested, and I know they're out there, and made a point to say, hey, I'm going to still use the Spotify thing because it's a better platform, but I am going to make a point that every time you put out a record or every now and then when you put out a new shirt or if you come near me, I'm going to make it a point to come out and support you. God, that's I would give away my music for free if I knew every fan that that likes our music would come to
And that's something that I think Spotify could do as a gesture, a nice gesture to artists is create a better avenue for them to communicate with their Spotify listeners because it exists if you have the proper team in place, you can use Spotify to do like tour pre-sales and send messages directly to your fans, but all of it has to funnel through Spotify. It's a huge process. You have to be really connected to make that happen based on my knowledge.
They could change the game.
And imagine if you have 2,000 monthly listeners and you could send all of them your tour poster in an email. Everybody's inbox, everybody would hate their inbox and they would unsubscribe from Spotify emails immediately.
Or even if there's some Spotify inbox.
Yeah. Because there used to be. They got rid of it. It was there. You could message people on Spotify.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've had Spotify for, I think, 10 years now, 9 or 10 years. I've seen so many functions.
I've never had anything but the free version just because
this is probably kind of obvious through my take here, but I have a ton of brand loyalty to Spotify as someone who's been using it for so long. And really going back to the original, should artists be taking their music down? My take that I thought about this since you asked me to come in. What I would recommend in my conversation I would have with any of my artists who come to me and they say, hey, you're a part of the team. We're thinking about taking our music down. What should we do? Is I would say don't. But here's why, which is goes without saying Spotify is an amazing tool for artist development.
Yeah, you're saying goodbye to a lot of promo and a lot of the most money you get from your music.
Right. That's huge. It's gotta stay. You've gotta be able to use it. And Spotify, in my opinion, is a good thing for artists in the sense that it tailors down on illegal downloading. And it also creates this discovery platform where it's really easy for me to send a link to somebody and go, hey, check this out, and just send them the Spotify link. Really, really great tool in that context. Instead of saying, hey, you should go buy this, or hey, go find a place to download this song. It takes time.
Yeah, unless you're in the upper 5% of artists that have a massive or don't need Spotify.
Right.
The other 95% of us, I mean, like saying goodbye to Spotify is,
I've seen bands take their stuff off Spotify and I literally forget that they exist until I'm going back through my iTunes library and I find this download and I'm like, oh, I forgot about this band because they're not on my playlists. And I'm not following.
That's my biggest thing.
Yeah. So I would not get rid of Spotify. Spotify in itself, the concept is good for artists. The way payments are being structured is not ideal, but Spotify continuing to exist, in my opinion, is a benefit to artists. And so if artists not getting as much of an increased cut on the songwriting keeps Spotify's doors open in the long run, I think that's a positive. But going back to the pie thing, artists, go ahead.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah. But it's a weird moral situation where somebody is telling you, hey, your art isn't worth as much as you think it is. You're right. Your art is as valuable as you think that it is. And so that's
the bummer is like we have to have some as artists, we have to feel like our art is worth it if we're gonna go for it.
Yeah.
So there's a part of that, like my biggest fear in making these statements and having these conversations is me coming across as a guy that says, hey, I think my art is worth more than what you're giving me.
But you're right. It is worth more than like 0.06 cents per stream. It's more valuable than that. And I don't even think Spotify thinks that it's worth that much. I think that they're going, this is what we can feasibly do to continue our platform.
Right. You're thinking, this is the first time I've heard this, but you're saying Spotify is not saying, no, we're doing you a favor and your art isn't that good anyway.
They're not telling all musicians that, like, hey, the music industry as a whole, your art's really not that great.
I mean, like, yeah, you deserve this much. And so I'm going to let you know just now, you changed the way I looked at this, because on this on the other side of that, I sit back and go, screw you, Spotify. My art's worth more than this.
Yeah, well, that's where I think the Spotify and suing my songwriters headline was so dangerous, because it frames it as Spotify is attacking songwriters, whereas Spotify is probably just doing what it can to function, because it also has to eat. It's in the same boat you guys are in. I again, totally speculating. I don't have any numbers or insider info to this.
Yeah, none of them do.
Totally just guessing based on the fact that Spotify has not profited most years it's been in the United States. That Spotify is probably just trying to do what it can to operate. And so what my recommendation would be to artists, they're going, well, I need to get paid. This is what I would, this would be my action steps, which is you got to embrace Spotify. It is the current. I don't know if it's the future. I don't know if 10 years from now, that's how people are going to be consuming music, but it's in 2019. Right. That's what's happening. So you got to embrace it. You got to engage the Spotify for Artists thing. You got to find out, you talked about this a little bit, well, what are they looking for an artist to succeed on their platform? And you got to just lean into that if you're going to participate in it, which I would recommend. From that, you still need to get paid. If you're using Spotify correctly and you're discovering new fans are discovering your music and you're cultivating this fan base, find a way to turn that into great live opportunities for touring, for doing like one-off shows and festivals. And touring can be not profitable. Touring can literally be an expense if you don't do it the right way, but leverage that. And that's where, I mean, people are making their money from live shows now. That's why I'm working in booking, because that's, in my opinion, one of the only stable ways to make music in the industry.
Other than licensing to movies and everything.
Okay, well, that's a gazillion. That's where all the money's at, but that's not my skill.
Other than doing that, that's where we get the majority of our money, is live shows.
Yeah, and so artists need to dive into that. And that it is unfortunate for artists who live in the recorded space and they don't tour and they don't do live shows, and it's kind of not a feasible time to be that kind of artist. But Vespertine's one of my clients, and he started that way. He was just an artist who lived online and didn't play shows, and we flipped that upside down, and now he's an artist who primarily is touring and doing live shows and succeeding because
great,
of it.
Great artist, by the way.
Had to plug it, you know.
You have to. I want you to plug them all.
Right. So you got to lean into the live shows. You got to develop your merch game. And then the last thing, this goes to artists, but also to people who are not musicians and are just consumers, which I consider myself that first and foremost as a fan and someone who goes to shows, is when you're at a show, maybe it's a show that was free, or you're paying $5 to go see a small touring band, or maybe you're at House of Blues going to see something that would play House of Blues. I don't know. Go to the merch booth, find an item, and like support the artist that way. I mean, that's artists are making their money at those shows. Buy, like, you're saving a ton of money on buying music by being a subscriber to Spotify. Take that, some of that money you're saving, and put it into merch and concert tickets. That's where artists are going to survive. Yeah, and that's like when I go to shows, I always try, as long as there's some kind of merch item that in any way appeals to me, I try and get a merch item, especially if it's like a friend who invited me out to a show. Like if Ravenhill was playing in Chicago, I would buy a t-shirt.
And
that's,
I'd have a hard time taking your money though.
That does happen sometimes. And sometimes I'll have my girlfriend go up and buy the shirt.
There you go.
If I'm not there, or one of my friends, I've definitely finessed a shirt that way before.
You've hooked us up enough that I think that I owe you a shirt.
I will pay you for it no matter what. But that's how we all survive and how we all eat. I mean, my artists can continue to be on the road because people are coming to see them and they're buying their merchandise, and I'm staying in business because of that.
You're right. I mean, like I've said it a handful of times. I have a hard time saying it on stage, but I was like, hey, I mean, it depends on how much we're getting paid for the show. Normally is whether I push the merch as much, but I always say like, hey, you buy us a t-shirt, gets us, you know, gets us a couple $100 or 100 miles down the road.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that helps us, and that helps us get in the studio again, helps us have the right mentality.
Yeah.
Whenever we, after the show, we hop into a van with a 4 other stinky dudes and we just sit there and we go, all right, let's go to the next show. And if we're coming off a high of like, it was a great show and we did all right merch wise and we made good on money and I get to come home to my wife and say, hey, I came home with a couple $1,000s in my pocket.
Yeah.
From this weekend. That'll change my whole life to like, well, we're going to do that one weekend.
Yeah.
We'll say, hey, all right, we're going to do this another year. I mean, that one weekend
it's beautiful when it works out that way. When it's done right, it's an amazing time to be a touring musician because people can find your music easier than ever. So many people are just creating cool things. There's new venues popping up. There are people putting on these events like summer festivals. There's too many of them at this point. There's so many.
They really are.
That's a different podcast. Well,
I'll have you on it, man.
I have to be careful how much I comment on. Just because of what I do, but
but I mean, you know, we're, you know, yeah, we'll wait on that.
But all the tools are there. Artists have the opportunity to create these. If you make good music, if you can actually do that very first part, is just making good music, all of the tools to succeed are attainable. You don't even need...
You just got to find your audience.
You have to find your audience, and you just have to work really hard. I'll plug one of my other artists real quick. I work with this guy, Michigander. You and I talked about him a little bit. Amazing artist. Everybody should go listen to Circles. It just came out. Phenomenal song. Bias aside, big fan of this.
Can I play it on this?
Please.
Can I play it on here?
Totally plug
it. I'll play a Vespertine song in between, too.
Cool. Play... for Vespertine, play Operate or Shatter in the Night or whatever you pick.
Okay, cool.
But Michigander, dude, he doesn't have a manager. He is the hardest working person I've ever met in my entire life. He eats, sleeps, breathes his project. And he's so good at it. Like, he makes good music, but he works so hard and it pays off. He's such a good, if you're an artist and you're listening and you're like, how do I get to the next step ahead of me, I feel like I'm stuck, I'm at this barrier, like, go look at the way that, his name's Jason Singer, look at the way that he operates and like try and model that. He works hard, he's good at networking, he's good at branding, he's good at marketing himself, and he's not some industry guy sitting around just taking money from poor artists. He is the artist, and he works that hard.
Yeah, let me say this too.
Yeah,
he is ridiculously talented.
He's also ridiculously talented.
That helps a lot.
Yeah, if you can be talented and work hard, you're gonna make it. If you're one or the other, you're flipping a coin.
yeah. But because I've seen many on both other sides of that coin. Like, I've seen a ton of people that work their butts off, and I was like, they're just not there. They either sound like everyone else or something else, or they don't haven't found their voice. I've also seen people that, unfortunately, that are probably some of the most talented people I've ever met in my life, but they don't know how to brand themselves. They haven't found the right team, or they haven't found. They just don't. I mean, most people don't have a business mindset if they're a creative person.
It's hard to be both, but if you can be both. Yeah. You're in a good place. Also, email me your music if you can do both.
Well, what's your email, man?
You
should plug your company.
I should. I was like, I'm already going and have this hot take on Spotify. Should I like also be like waving around my company banner? But I'm gonna.
I will say, I think if Spotify heard this conversation, they'd be very happy with what you said.
Well, if they're happy with it, they should plug some of my artists on New Music Friday.
They definitely should. I might be able to help you out with that a little bit.
We can talk about that separately.
Yeah.
But my company, it's called Revel Talent Alliance. Revel with a V. R-E-V-E-L. The website is reveltalent.co. C-O. If you go in there, there's a contact button. It emails direct to me. It's a small company. It's just me and another guy just trying to make some dreams happen.
And as an endorsement, man, I've always admired your hard work.
I appreciate that, man. You, hey, you were on the first show I ever put together back in the day. You've been there since literally the first day.
That's why you're still Brandon Kokomo.
Brandon Kokomo. I love that. That's still that. Please never change
you
it from Brandon
Kokomo. Because
you set up
Kokomo. The Kokomo show.
Yep, that's me, Kokomo, yeah. Indiana. The booming music scene that it is.
And you've moved to the metropolis of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Hey, I know you don't have a whole lot of time.
Yeah, I actually was about to say that. I gotta run, but
yeah. But I'll have you on here. Guys, please go follow him social media, Rebel Entertainment. Right?
Rebel Talent.
Rebel Talent.
Yep.
And I'm sure it's pretty easy to find on all social medias.
It is, yeah.
Brand, thanks so much for giving us your thoughts and I'll have you back on here. We'll talk about festivals and all those things. Let's see if we can burn some bridges.
I love it. If I'm going to build a bridge. Well, if I'm going to build a bridge or burn a bridge, I'm happy to do it on the Honey Gold, the Hive pod. Is this the Hive? Am I on the Hive?
The Hive. Dude, it'll be the Hive.
The best podcast theme song ever.
I have too many podcasts.
Can you upload the podcast theme song as its own track on Spotify so I can add it to my playlists?
Yes. Do you love it?
I love it. And you can make like 3 cents from it. It'll be great.
Yeah. We should. I'm going to do that.
I want that. That makes my day. I'll be on the podcast again if you do that for me, Josh.
Perfect.
All right. All right, man. I'll talk to you. Sounds good. Take care.
Bye. So where do we go from here? Feels like I'm running in circles. Where do we go from here? I've been facing all. Was there something you wanted to say? I can see it in your eyes. Was there something you wanted to say? I should have told you when I remember. Should have told you back in September. But I couldn't see through the rain. So tell me what. Tell me what you want from me. Tell me what you want from me. And I'll give you anything to make you my everything. So tell me what you want from me. Tell me what you want from me. And I'll give you anything to make you my.
Hello? Noah Hardwick here. And we're still talking about the Spotify, I guess, saga or whatever. And Noah, why don't you introduce yourself? And other than being my friend, why should people care what you think about this?
I really don't know why anybody would care what I think. But my name's Noah Hardwick. I'm a writer for Indie Vision Music, and I'm just generally interested in music, the music industry, and then as well as the technology industry. Right. So music, like a collision of two different interests for me. It's the tech industry meeting the music industry, and man, that's it's been quite the mess, the way those two have collided with Spotify.
Yeah, kind of like the Wild West a little bit, you know, like it's, or maybe even like when people used to flock to the West for gold, trying to find their riches and everything, and we were just kind of blindly going that way, you know, like kind of saying, I guess it's the way it's going, and we thought one day it'll get regulated, and that started with a Music Monetization Act that was passed earlier, a couple months ago. And then later on, Spotify ended up appealing that along with Amazon, Pandora, and Google. And now we're kind of in the middle of that, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty quick summary of where we're at.
Yeah. Now, I talked to Brandon Hughes and from Rebel Talent Agency, and he kind of gave me his two bits, but and you have no idea what he said and no idea what I said in that. But I'd love to get you messaged me specifically a couple days ago and said some new developments, and it might even be new to me, so I'm excited to hear what you've discovered and your viewpoint of all this.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say it's new developments necessarily. It's probably more like new thoughts on hearing what you had to say in the last podcast, which at this point, I'm going to be honest, I don't remember everything you said in the podcast. But
that's quite all right. I don't remember everything I said.
Probably the biggest development, actually, there's quite a few, but the biggest one coming to mind would be like Spotify announcing the deal with Hulu. Have you seen any of that?
Totally. I traveled from I just got back in from Nashville last night, and literally somewhere in the middle of Arkansas while I was getting gas, two people at a Love's gas station talking about, you don't know what Hulu is? And the other lady goes, no. Well, do you know what Spotify is? And she goes, no. She goes, oh, I'm about to open up your world.
Welcome to Arkansas. And, we don't have
That's right. You're from Arkansas.
Yeah, you didn't talk to me. Hello.
Yeah, I did. That's my fault. I'm a bad friend. We could have done this in person.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the whole it would seem that that Spotify is hoping that you believe or the lack of protest is if it's easy on your wallet and your inconvenience, that they'll win us back over with throwing in Hulu and throwing in or at least a deal with Hulu, and the fact that some people, even those in my camp, would argue that Spotify works way better than Apple Music. So.
Yeah, I would actually agree with that. But before I go off on that thing, I'll go back to Hulu. I think the really interesting thing about that is when all this was happening, I didn't really understand why Spotify was appealing this decision, because they're saying at the same time, hey, you know, we support songwriters getting paid more. We're not against the rate increase. And the thing that they kept coming back to is we're against it because it includes bundles. And at the time, I'm like, well, what bundles are they talking about? What are we talking about here? And then a few days later, they announced the Hulu bundle, and suddenly it became what they're talking about.
I didn't even think about that. The idea that this would affect everything that all the deals they're doing on the other end.
Yeah.
They were probably thinking that, well, music, because it was the first time, this year was the first time we ever got, like, or the second time in history, I think we got that type of raise, quote unquote raise, in our share, that they were probably thinking, well, it's probably no change. We're probably going to be at the same model. And that 44%, they weren't counting on that hike. So now they got a business model. They're making deals on the side with Hulu or who else? Who knows who else?
Right.
And then this puts a little monkey wrench in their plans, probably, yeah, financially for sure.
So the way I understand this, and I may be way off base here because, I mean, I think I've already said I'm not really part of the music industry. I'm just a fan. I'm looking at this from the outside as somebody that uses the Spotify and other music apps. So there's a lot here. I don't know that I may be totally off base. But my understanding about the way it works with that, the increase to the royalties as it stands now is they would collect, I think it's 15.1% of total revenue. The reason that you have Spotify and Amazon, particularly being the two that I know the songwriters are going after, is because they have a tendency to bundle products. Amazon obviously is bundling like Amazon Prime Video and their shipping service,
right,
the Prime benefits. Spotify is looking to bundle Hulu and who knows what else down the road. If they're taking that out of the total revenue, then whatever revenue Spotify is also generating off of the Hulu deal is going to get paid back to songwriters.
What you're telling me is I'm about to get paid some Hulu money.
Probably not. Probably not going to see. Yeah, that's the way Spotify is arguing their case.
Come on, man. I wanted to quote you that Hulu is. I wanted that to be the headline.
Yeah.
Hulu.
Yeah.
Noah Hardwick of Indivision Music says Hulu is going to pay songwriters.
Right. Well, I mean, probably
we're going to make us all rich.
The way Spotify is going to be looking at this, and I have no idea what the details of their contract with Hulu is, but let's say that for every subscriber, they're giving Hulu $1 of that $10 a month subscription for
right,
a package.
Right.
So then they're going to come back and say, well, okay, the value of the music then is actually only $9 a month, not 10. So we're going to take 15% of that $9 rather than 15% of the total $10 that we're actually collecting revenue. Under
right,
the agreement as it is now with the court ruling, they would still have to pay out a total of $10. So
yeah,
you can definitely see where Spotify and Amazon are going to take issue with that because that's going to affect how they can handle these bundles like that.
Totally.
You have.
It does make me wonder why they haven't been more clear with the way, because I've read a lot of stuff on this, and it would not seem like Spotify is necessarily upfront, or at least in layman's terms, explaining why they're doing this, or at least I haven't read it or seen it. And if I haven't read it or seen it, and being someone that's like looking for it, they've made it pretty hard to find the information.
Yeah.
And so that's a little bit of a bummer. If they definitely do have they could easily put out a thing, and I'm not going to do it in like a properly worded way, but they could have said, hey guys, we're not against this. This came at a real like weird time. We just made a deal with Hulu, and because we work in bundles, we apologize, but we have to appeal this for right now, but we are for songwriters getting paid more, and we promise to fix that. But right now, it would interfere with us moving forward on this business decision. So we are going to have to appeal. But you have the Spotify word. Stick with us for a couple months, and we'll figure out a solution to make sure songwriters get paid what they deserve.
Yeah, I mean,
and if they would have said something along those lines.
Well, they basically did say all of that in a blog post.
I remember seeing that one that said that, like, but they didn't. I don't feel like they said that.
They were very vague about what they meant by it. And you can only assume that there's probably a lot of reasons for that. One would be, I mean, they hadn't announced the deal with Hulu yet. And I'm assuming,
right,
you know, until it's announced, they can't actually name anybody in that. And I'm assuming any further bundling services like that, they probably couldn't announce either until it's official. So but they were also vague in
other
areas. So I think there's definitely a lot of reason to be concerned in how vague they were about a lot of stuff. And even when they're doing that and they have maybe a legitimate reason, I feel like Amazon probably has more legitimate reason than anybody, because I mean, you know, they're selling like a $120 bundle, you know, for their Amazon Prime and stuff. Okay. What if they want to bundle their music service in with that? Then you're talking about taking 50% of $120. You know, we're talking a lot more money there.
Now, surely they have with this, and maybe that's why they had to appeal.
Yeah.
But with this, they have to figure out a way to I'm going to have a hard time saying the word, even though I've said it a million times. Compartmentalize. Why can't I say it?
Compartmentalize.
Thank you. Compartmentalize. See, Arkansas is killing it right now. compartmentalize exactly the source of where, what money and why and where it goes. And I know that's probably got to be a tough way to split up, even with Amazon, split up $120 into, okay, this is how much this person streams music. And be honest, I had Amazon Prime before all this. I never used it to stream music.
No, I know a few people that do, and I'm not even exactly sure what's included in the Prime. I don't think it's the full music package. I think it's just select artists, but I could be wrong.
Maybe you're right. Yeah, I totally. And I know that Audible's in there, and there's some other companies like that. But I would assume they know, they have a profile with Josh Clifton next to it. Mm-hmm. And what I use Amazon for, I use Amazon Prime to stream movies and and TV shows, and to conveniently get things at a discounted price from their marketplace, and that's about it. So you would think that there's like some pie chart out there that says, "Oh, this $120 should go 60% to this and 40% to this," and if I had used it for anything else, it would just percent it out, and that's where that $120 goes.
Yeah.
Surely, two guys from the South are not figuring this out, and Amazon's going, what can we do? I assume that's why they had to appeal, so they could figure out a way to do this. I would hope that's what they're doing. And I would hope that they're they would come out soon and say, "Hey, we're still for the songwriter, and we're still for the arts." They've done I feel like they've done a really poor job trying to appeal to those of us that are pretty upset about this, because there's a lack of information, at least ones that we information that we can for sure say, oh, there's some heart behind this.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Spotify's done a little bit, not much. Well, I said they've at least done a blog post. Right. I haven't heard anything from Amazon on this. They've been...
No, like, I assume that they don't care at all.
Yeah. But in going back to the topic, I do think that there is some language in the agreement that sets that price and all. I think the issue is they don't agree with how it's set. I think that my understanding is that it would be at whatever the normal rate is. So given that the normal rate for everybody right now is kind of standard at $10 a month, then that's what they're going to be expected to pay regardless of whatever, you know, they're bundling in with that. I think that's what they're appealing to, is saying, okay, that's too high. We can't bundle anything in with that rate.
I appreciate your viewpoint on that, because I would never even thought about that.
Yeah. So that's where I go back to. I actually don't think that's fair. I think that's a perfectly fair rate. And I think if they want to bundle something in there, then they need to raise their rates. In fact, I think $10 is probably underpricing it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what everybody's saying, is I know that I pay monthly with Hulu. I think I got like HBO with Hulu and something else, and I'm paying like $16 or something like that, something along those lines. I literally looked at it the other day. I was like, why is that so much? But I remember them saying, oh, our rates are going up. So it's funny that I could actually get Spotify with Hulu and probably with HBO less than what I'm getting Hulu and HBO for. And that's if I didn't care about taking less, I guess, or whatever. But I'm interested to see if you're going to hear this band rocking out right now as I as my kids get out. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah, my son, my sons are drummers at School of Rock, so they have their garage doors open and the bands are playing loud, man. But cool. What would you, as a music lover and as a writer, you know, a journalist, hearing all of us musicians whine about this, do you have any solutions? Do you have any insight that you're, like you said, you've listened to our episodes and you've said, and I'm sure you've sat back and go, well, Josh is being too this, or Johnny's being this, or I can see where they're coming from type situation.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely thought a lot about different factors and all. And I think probably to your point there, the first thought I had is there's absolutely reason to, as an artist and a songwriter, to be upset with Spotify over this decision. I don't think there's any need to panic right now because, I mean, the only thing they're doing is they're appealing it. There's a pretty good chance that nothing's going to change, that the judge won't overturn their decision or anything.
Right.
And Spotify is going to end up having to pay that 15% either way. So if you're an artist, you're probably going to get paid regardless of whether somebody's listening to your music on Spotify or on Apple Music or anything.
Right.
So in that regard, I don't think that there's necessarily any rush to pull your music because you're not going to get paid for it.
Right. That's what I haven't done it yet.
Yeah,
because I'm kind of waiting to. Number one, I don't want to make it inconvenient for those that do listen to us on those streaming sites.
Mm-hmm.
And until I feel like I've gotten enough information to make an educated decision.
Yeah.
Even though I know sometimes I come across as like, we got to change now and start this big protest, and we're like standing outside the. What you call the Spotify offices picketing it. We haven't done that yet. But all that to say, I feel like the conversation is the thing that we need to be having.
Yeah.
And getting the education, getting different viewpoints. And, I mean, just in this conversation, I thought, oh, this might be about bundling. I can't wait to bring this up on the podcast next week and hear what the guys think about
them. And I think that Spotify probably has more than the bundling issue there, but that's the only one they've publicly come out and said that I've seen. So, and it's obviously clear now that Hulu, they've announced that what they intended, what they meant by that. So there's at least something to look at there.
Totally.
Back to your question though, of, you know, what are the solutions? What do you look at? I think you also have to remember that while this is one kind of anti-art stance that Spotify has taken, it's not the only one, and it's not the only they haven't only done bad things for artists either. They have done some good things too, so I think you do have to look at it in a bigger picture kind of thing too.
And I've thought about that. I mean, I definitely I know that as a whole, more bands have been noticed on Spotify probably and have found their audience on Spotify more than any other platform in the last probably 5 years. But it's a weird crossroads of like, do I play the game for the possibility of gain and convenience,
mm-hmm.
or should I stand up? And that's seriously the weird position I feel like I'm in.
Yeah, I think the thing to remember in the whole thing here is that regardless of whether it's Apple Music or Spotify or somebody else, they're all businesses. And at the end of the day, whatever decisions they're making it for their bottom line, for their shareholders.
Totally.
when Spotify.
Yeah, I expect the company to act like a company. I expect people in power to make sometimes selfish decisions, and I get that. But I'm always struggling. Like, at what point do we say no?
Yeah.
And at what point do we say, well, this is just the machine at work, and there's right now this is not where we're going to stand. Take the stand.
So, like for example, with Spotify, you could say that they have made some artist-friendly moves, especially for indie artists, in the fact that they are very proactive in trying to promote those artists within their official playlist. But you also have to keep in mind, a big part of the reason they're doing that is they can pay indie artists less than they can pay major label artists. So it's
totally
to their benefit
to
promote an independent artist over a major label artist.
Totally.
With Apple Music. Okay, they are the only one that didn't appeal this decision. They might have done that because they know that it's going to put somebody like Spotify in a bind, because Spotify doesn't have a lot of capital to invest. Apple has billions of dollars. They can sit there and operate at a loss until Spotify goes out of business. Everybody is playing this game to their advantage. You can't assume that any of them are doing anything that they're doing to benefit you is because they're doing out any kind gesture of their heart. They obviously have their interest in mind when they're doing it.
Totally.
In saying that, I really don't think that the whole deal with Spotify appealing this is that big of a deal, because like I said, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to what the judge decides. And if the judge changes their mind, I'd probably be more angry with them than I would be with Spotify. That's not to say that there aren't some good things to take concern with Spotify. I think the biggest concern I would have if I was in your shoes as an artist would not be the whole deal here with the songwriters. I think it would probably be with the fact that Spotify is the only real service that has a free tier to their service. It drastically reduces the amount of money that they're paying out to artists. That's Apple Music and everybody else is paying a lot higher than Spotify. And if I was an artist, I would take that definitely into consideration about whether or not I wanted to continue putting my music on Spotify. More so maybe.
Yeah, I've thought about that before too. And I don't really push the whole Spotify playlist. I mean, if you look back at any Raven Hills thing, I always push the Apple one. It's probably why our monthly listeners isn't as high as it should be. But maybe upon release I put it on, I posted the Spotify link, but like any other time I'm sharing a song, it is iTunes. It did bother me a little bit that, like, either A, when it comes to indie artists, like, we don't have a very big voice because we are an indie artist. And another thing that bothered me was the fact that, like, I just didn't see enough people even having this conversation.
No.
There's
a lot of people
not
talking.
That was surprising me.
And it may be just because it's a super complicated issue. I've been reading into music licensing a lot the last couple of weeks, just trying to understand how it works. And it's just, there's so much into that.
I might get David Israelite on here, which I'm sure with everything you've read, you know who that is now.
I would say, if you're going to get him on there, see if you can get somebody from the, let's say it's the AMLA, something like that.
Yeah, AMLA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Because I know that they're in a bit of a ongoing dispute between those two songwriter representation groups, and be interesting to hear both sides of that one.
David Israelite definitely makes me want to stand against Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also am not trying to be a martyr for something that I shouldn't die for even yet, because I mean, nothing's been decided yet. Mm-hmm. So I think,
like I said, going back to like, what would I do if I was in the artist's shoes? Maybe not so much again for the reason of the songwriters, but for other reasons, for not liking Spotify, I would probably look at, alternate means of, putting your music on Spotify besides just putting it all out there. Like, again, viewing it like a radio service of putting out
songs
out there rather than full albums. Or
I love that idea, man. I think I even mentioned that on the podcast about that you said that.
Or even doing a delayed windows of if you're putting out an album, don't put it on Spotify for the first month or the first 6 months or something like
that. Right.
Again, to just try and encourage people to actually go and support the music from you directly buying it or even going
to an
internet service. I think that there are definitely other ways of approaching Spotify besides just a total, you know, cold turkey, we're cutting you off kind of situation.
Right, right. Yeah, cool. Well, do you have any parting thoughts before we end this? Do you have anything else that you think we didn't touch on?
To say, you know, pull music off of Spotify, you get to that point. How are you going to handle podcasts? Because you also have those on Spotify.
I do. And I thought about that. I thought about having to do the old fashioned way where I did it through an RSS feed. I even said, I think in the last episode that, or maybe it's one that hasn't been aired, I forget. But I was like, you know, it's crazy. You know, we use Anchor, and Spotify just bought Anchor. 40% of our listeners come from Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's nuts, man. And even Gimlet Media, which is my favorite podcast company, production company, just got bought out by Spotify. So it's like one of those things where, like, if I'm going to do it, I'm not going to halfway do it. I need to find a solution for all those things. Even if that means more work. So I got to figure that out. They're coming a little bit of a monopoly in my life anyway, it's the bundling thing. It's like, they were all, you know, three or four separate things that I was using. And now it's all like the center focal point of the thing I'm going through now. So it's kind of nuts.
Yeah. I mean, if you need some suggestions on hosting services, I can help you out there, but on the whole Spotify acquiring Anchor and acquiring Gimlet Media, and they've since acquired, I think, two more, maybe that's just a fascinating topic to me because it really shows how Spotify is really hurting in the music industry and how they're really looking to get out of it and create content with podcasts.
For sure, man. They're trying to figure out. Yeah, they're really trying to figure out a way to find that black pen, because I think they've been writing with the red pen for a long time.
That, you know, everybody likes to compare Spotify to like Netflix, and you know, but it's not really the same game. That Netflix can make original shows to fill, you know, the holes in its catalog as it loses those back to Fox and Disney and Warner Brothers and everybody else. Spotify and Apple Music and everybody else really isn't the same boat, because who wants to subscribe to a music service that only has 25% of the music you listen to? You really see Spotify trying to, I think, get into the same game of original content that Netflix is with acquiring these podcasting services. And I think Anchor is a brilliant move on their part, because I mean, it kind of gives them a whole new supply chain of upcoming podcasts that they can kind of jump on and try and figure out how to monetize. And the fact that the podcast really is a wild west right now, but there is no one dominant service that's leading that market yet. It's a wide open opportunity.
It will be Spotify probably.
Yeah.
Something I know, and I can't really go into too deep, is there are a lot of companies out there looking to find the next big podcast they can invest in.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those are friends of mine that are being courted by them. And it's kind of nuts the money they're throwing around. So, podcasting is a very viable, if you got a good idea for a podcast, but now's the time to start developing that elevator pitch.
Yeah, I've got a few in mind myself, and it's just finding the time to do them.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'd love to have you on here again here pretty soon as this develops. Maybe we can have a part two down the road, maybe a month from now or whenever the judge decides what he's going to do.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. I really enjoy talking about it, if you can't tell.
Yeah, me too, man. And I love education. I love music. And I also, I mean, I'm not going to act like I don't. I like making money at making music.
No, should.
And whenever all those kind of come to a crossroads and there's something that we can possibly do, that's something I want to be educated on. Because I know there's I'm the kind of guy that a lot of younger bands come to and go, hey, what should we do? What would you suggest? Or what would be some advice you would give me? And I like to be educated because I don't want to just give I don't want to give stupid answers. I don't want to give, for lack of a better term, a half-assed answer. I want to be able to really help them avoid some of the pitfalls. I appreciate your expertise, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm an expert on the field, but I like to try and make sure I know what's going on. So.
No, you've had some of the best ideas with people I've talked to, so you need to give yourself more credit.
Thank you.
No problem, brother. Guys, go check out Indie Vision Music and you can see some of Noah's writings and reviews and just thoughts on music. Thanks, Noah. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to a Honey Gold Records production. For this podcast and others like it, go to www.honeygoldrecords.com.